Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Hey, good day, America. It's a beautiful day to be an American. We've seen so many changes, so many things, mostly positive in the past few months, where we see a revival of Christianity. For one thing, we see young people embracing Jesus Christ like I haven't seen in decades. This is beautiful. It's wonderful. And we've got a new spirit at work. We believe the Holy Spirit's at work. This is a remote broadcast. We're having to tape it in advance. I'm sitting here in the Capitol. I'm looking at the state capitol in Austin, Texas, where I was testifying on a pirate money bill this morning in the state Senate Finance Committee. And that went really well. I was with Mike Carter, who's normally my co-host on the program. And we have the opportunity. We've invited into Pirate Money Radio Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's a dear friend and someone who's hosting his big event. Now, by the time you hear this, the event will have taken place and he will probably be getting some well-earned rest. But we interrupted his preparation to have him come on and tell us about Stand. Welcome, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, Kevin, first of all, thank you for inviting me. It's an honor to be with you. And I tell you, I am so excited to hear about the pirate money movement, that it's actually getting traction, that states are adopting it, that it's making its way through the legislatures. This is some really exciting stuff. I told you, you opened up a whole new world for me that I hadn't really thought about. And I hope every American thinks about, and I think your leadership is going to be very instrumental in that.
Well, you're very kind. This is a biblical issue. It's the one the Lord's put on my heart. It's biblical because God hates dishonest weights and measures. They hurt marginal people that may be on the margins economically or financially. They're hurt the most by having inflation, whether it's 2% per year. And you're an economist. I mean, you're an attorney. You're an economist. You're a pastor. You're a bishop. You have served as an attorney. You understand some of the plight of real, normal Americans. So it really means a lot to hear you share that. Thank you.
Well, it's heartfelt. By the way, I'm not an economist. I do play one on the radio occasionally. But.
Well, you're a common sense economist. I've listened to your radio program, and you understand. It's like Ben Carson said to me once, Dr. Carson, he says, economics is not brain surgery. and he says it very well. If people would just stop and pause and think things through, they would understand that when you give people an incentive to do something, they're likely to do it. And if you incentivize them not to do something, they're likely to not do it. Just basics, you know, it doesn't require brain surgery.
Certainly, in fact, the debate we're having right now about tariffs and no tariffs and all of this. And I often remind people that anytime you do anything at a governmental level that affects all the people and affects companies and businesses, it is the middle income and low income people who pay the cost of that. We're at the bottom end of the economy, and all of that stuff rolls down to us, and the costs get passed along most of the time. And so every time you can do something that lowers cost and lowers regulations and lowers the ability for people to do business and to transact business, it really benefits middle and low income people.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize 2% inflation per year is the Fed's target. If it gets below 2%, they promise they will raise inflation to the 2% level. It's been under the Biden years, it was at 5, 6, 8, 10% at some points. Even the government doctored statistics said that our dollar lost almost a quarter of its purchasing power during 4 years of President Biden. That means what used to cost a dollar costs, you know, a dollar and a quarter, or $1.30. We've seen that in the dollar store. We see it at restaurants. We see it everywhere we go. And I think that understates the inflation.
And how you could twist that into saying you're looking out for the little guy, I don't know. That's some truly twisted, fantastical thinking. But what we need to do, you're right, is your pirate money is perfect because it helps to shield us against the ravages of inflation, bad government policies, and activities that are happening around the world that affect the value of the dollar.
Well, and you're on the front lines with this because you deal with real people, whether they're in your church or whether you're talking to them on an everyday basis. But you're also a politician. At least you run for office. I don't want to label you as a bad, you know, like most politicians. You're one of the good guys. You took it on to run. I think you ran for lieutenant governor and Senate both.
That's right. That's right. And I was just saying to my audience on my podcast earlier, I was telling them the truth about a particular issue. I said, that may be why I haven't been successful at winning. Because, you know, Donald Trump is about the first politician I've ever seen who essentially tells the truth all the time and manages to win. Most of the time, telling the truth is not a good formula for winning in politics. But you're right. I have run twice, in fact, three times, because, as you know, I jumped into the race for president, knowing that Donald Trump was going to probably win the nomination, become the next president. But I wanted to introduce God into the picture and into the culture and into politics. I've run. And believe me, it's not glamorous, but it's one of the sacrifices that we make. And thank God that we can get people like Donald Trump elected.
Well, you know, you have made a difference. You moved the needle in that I look at Virginia. Virginia was solidly headed the wrong direction, and it was the social issues that turned it around. It was parents saying, wait a minute, someone's assaulting my child in a bathroom that they don't belong in. And Bishop, you're the guy that really made that case for Virginia.
And, you know, this is what troubles me. I say it somewhat tongue in cheek. Obviously, there are a lot of people in politics who do tell the truth and still manage to win. But, you know, there are a lot of people who really believe that not telling the truth gives you some kind of political advantage. And that's an issue, for example, that's plaguing us right now at this very moment as we speak. We just had a bunch of Virginia Tech students, I think it was Virginia Tech, that walked out on Governor Youngkin because of his policy against anti-Semitism and tried to quell that. And of course, we've had lots of problems with this whole gender issue in our schools. And right now, we need more voices in our political system to step up and just tell the unvarnished truth about this stuff, that this is morally wrong, it's spiritually wrong, it's legally wrong from my perspective, because you're violating the constitutional rights of women when you stick men into their locker rooms and into their showers. So it's just wrong on a whole bunch of levels, but there aren't a lot of voices that are willing to just scream it from the rooftops, sadly. And that gives me pause about the future of Virginia right now. And I'm hoping that we will hear those voices begin to speak up.
Now, you said something about Governor Youngkin. He basically said that we shouldn't be anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. And people are protesting that. Things have flipped so weirdly in this country from when you and I were younger and first starting out and watching politics. I mean, if you were to defend someone who's Jewish and their right to express themselves, their right to have equal rights and so forth, to attend college without threat, you would have been seen as on the left. But what now is seen as on the far right. Things have flipped so much. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, you use the right word, crazy. And I said, we've developed in my organization something called the Family Restoration Institute. And one of the subheadings of that is going to be Dads for Sanity, because you're right. And you hear people say it all the time. You hear it, you say it, I hear it, I say it. It's insane. This stuff is irrational. It's crazy. And yet people are embracing it as if there's some kind of manna from on high that they're consuming. And thank God that that Governor Youngkin did speak up. As you know, Kevin, I just got back from Israel about a month ago. And in fact, I visited Poland and Israel. And, you know, to be reminded of Auschwitz and the horrors of the Holocaust, and then to come home and see students who don't seem to know or understand that history and think somehow that the Jews, they bought into all of the canards that the Jews control the world and they're the problem and they're racist. And it's really bizarre. And Governor Youngkin has definitely spoken up about that. And of course, he's paying the price for it. But I think the more voices speak up, the more sanity rises and the more people say to those who don't get it or aren't willing to receive it, you know, you're nuts and we're not going to listen to you.
Well, we're going to be talking more with Bishop E.W. Jackson right after this break. We're going to bring sanity back to America.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And we're talking with the founder of Stand, Bishop E.W. Jackson, dear friend, a man who has literally helped turn the political tide in Virginia. He's standing up for the right things of America. And I love the meaning behind the acronym STAND. Could you share that with us?
Yes, it's staying true to America's national destiny. Because like you, Kevin, I really believe that America's not a political accident, that America's a providential nation ordained by Almighty God. And God had a purpose and a plan for this nation when he put it in the hearts of our founding fathers and all of the patriots who led up to the Revolutionary War and the independence of this nation. And that America's true hope for the future is to be true to the destiny that God intended for this nation. And I really believe that that destiny is for us to be one nation under God, to be a nation of true individual liberty, of prosperity, of hope, of possibility, of decency, of honor, of compassion, of integrity, a godly nation. And thus, that's what STAND is all about. And of course, we're trying to bring people together across racial and cultural lines to uphold those Judeo-Christian values and principles that made America the greatest nation in the history of mankind. So, and by the way, I want to congratulate you because, as you know, annually we give out the George Washington Award for taking a stand, which is, to me, a great thing because George Washington, I really believe, was the essential man that God used to make sure that this nation was founded because he was of such stature and people had such respect for him that he was able to hold things together in a way that perhaps no other figure could have. So we give the George Washington Award for taking a stand with patriots across the country who have done just that, taking a stand sometimes in the face of all kinds of opposition, political, personal, social, but have nevertheless stood for what this nation represents and have helped advance the cause of freedom. And needless to say, Kevin, you are one of those people.
Well, I'm so honored. I appreciate it. I've attended your events before. It's phenomenal. You see a who's who in the conservative movement. Really, you know, say you're sitting down and you're next to people that are your personal heroes that you listen to on the radio, see on television or moving the needle. And I'm honored to receive that. Your banquet this year, and by the time this airs, it will be passed. But you're in midst of preparation for it. You're getting everything ready. Tell us about what your annual award dinner is like and how people can learn more about STAND and the work you're doing.
Well, we're going to have, of course, some video and social media postings after the event. This year, of course, we're also honoring Tina Deskovich of Moms for Liberty. Walter Hoy's been one of the great pro-life leaders in the Black community who actually went to jail for peacefully protesting outside of an abortion clinic. And they told him, if you just quit, we won't lock you up. And he said, well, I'm not quitting. And they locked him up. Great, great man of God. Robert Woodson, the Woodson Institute, he's got bringing conservative principles to the inner city, try to solve some of the social and crime problems that that community is facing. Let's see, who am I leaving out? I mentioned you already. Oh, Stacey Washington. Stacey Washington is one of our former colleagues at AFR. She's now the Stacey on the Right on Sirius Radio. But she's been an outspoken patriot as well. And as usual, caught a lot of flack for being truthful about things. So we're honoring these patriots. And people from all over the country are going to be there. We got people coming as far away as California and Florida. You're coming up from Texas. So it's going to be a wonderful event. And we're holding it, by the way, at one of the great churches in America, Cornerstone Chapel, which is pastored by Pastor Gary Hamrick, a dear friend and a great church. He's a great man of God and a great patriot. So, I'm really excited about it. It's a lot of work that goes into it. And of course, when it's all over, you got to breathe a sigh of relief. Thank you, Lord, we did it again. But I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very, very excited and enthused about the upcoming event 2 days from now.
When this airs, it will have been the night before. Right. And so on social media, what social media can people go to see the pictures of what took place?
Oh, my name, E.W. Jackson, S.R., E.W. Jackson, S.R. They'll find me on Facebook with that name. They'll find me on Twitter with that name. They'll find me on Rumble with that name. What am I leaving out? But yeah, pretty much all the social media you can think of. They'll find me on YouTube with that name, the E.W. Jackson YouTube channel. All of those will have pictures and videos and things that we're going to be airing after the dinner. We got a beautiful new video about the Family Restoration Institute that people are really going to like, I believe, because it really captures the issue of America's major problem, major social problem, which is not race, it's not poverty. It really is the breakdown of the family, which feeds all these other problems.
Well, and that's what I love about Stan, because it's staying true to America's national destiny, and America has a national destiny, but the founders thought of our national destiny as a biblical one. It didn't have to be overtly Christian in that people of other faiths were welcomed in, but it was biblical, and it was built on truths that God had established, and God made nations. And I love also that you stand for the family, because God also made an institution called family, a father, a mother, and children. That's his design. If he designed it otherwise, it would be otherwise, but he designed it that way. And yet all of these things are under attack by a very real enemy, and they use political means, they use crime, they use manipulations, they use every means possible to destroy the family, to destroy governments, to destroy the nation, to destroy Bible-believing Christians. So you're taking a stand on that, and I'm looking at the issues: America's Forgotten Children, Awakening Hearts and Minds, Stand Fellowship, Project Awakening, ministers taking a stand, Stand with Law Enforcement, Maximum Potential Christian Academy, you taking a stand. I found that all on your website at standamerica.us. Pick a project and tell us about it.
Wow. Well, look, let me say more about the Family Restoration Institute. I'm sure you know we are suffering right now from a plague of suicides, and as particularly high among young people, crime, which is also a major problem among our young people. It's particularly acute in the inner city. But, you know, we started chronicling the deaths of these innocent young children. It was all concentrated in a lot of inner city areas. But, you know, we found now, Kevin, it's no longer concentrated in the inner cities. It's spread all over. It's happening in suburban towns. It's happening everywhere. And I think it's because the family is breaking down everywhere. Most of these crimes are being committed by young guys, again, overwhelmingly young Black guys, raised in single-parent, female-headed households. So we've started the Family Restoration Institute to create curriculum and ultimately a set of classes and an institution that would help instill in young people, in fact, in various age groups, how families really supposed to work. For example, the importance of marriage. You know, marriage is not just a great idea or a nice little ceremony you go through. Whether a child is abused or treated well depends largely on whether the child's parents are married or she's living with a guy. 85% of the domestic abuse problems in America happen where women are living with their boyfriends. So the children are being victimized by this. So that's just one project that we're working on. That's our most recent and biggest project that we're really focused on, because we really believe that the future of America resides in strengthening and restoring family as much as in anything else.
Well, you know, as I look across and I see the state capitol here in Austin, why we're doing the remote broadcast, I realize the role government policy had in breaking down the family, particularly the Black family. And that's happened in our lifetime. I remember as a child that Black American families were actually quite strong. And then there were social welfare policies, maybe well-meaning, that we're going to pay moms and we're going to pay, you know, if the dad's out of the home. And I've got friends who said, yeah, my dad had to leave the home when they came around to inspect the home to make certain that we didn't have a daddy in the home so we could get more money. So dad would leave. Well, what does that do? You're paying families more if the dad's not in the home. So what happens? You're incentivized. Incentives matter. You're incentivizing people to have no daddy in the home. And the societal cost has just been enormous. The Black American family that, you know, I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where Black Wall Street was located. It was among the most prosperous neighborhoods in the world. And now it's destroyed. Same thing with Detroit. Same thing. You pick a city and you look at the government policies where they're paying families to not have a father in the home. And you realize they're destroying those families.
You know, Kevin, you know this about me, but I am the great-grandson of slaves. And people say, that seems a little bit, the timeline doesn't work. Well, it's because my grandfather had children very, very old. And my great-grandfather, it was in his 70s when my grandfather was born in 1874, July 4th, 1874, my grandfather was born. They were living in a two-parent married monogamous household in the 1870s. And this was true across the board up until the Great Society programs began. Overwhelmingly, almost 90% of Black children were born in two-parent married monogamous families up until the 1950s. And the urbanization had some negative effect. But once the 1960s hit and the social programs and welfare programs began, it's almost like the Black family just dropped off a cliff. I mean, you can see the precipitous decline from that point forward. I once got into a big controversy with the media because I said, you know, even slavery didn't destroy the Black family. It took liberals to do that in the 1960s. And of course, they just tore into me. Oh, he said that slavery was good for Black people. I never said that. I said the Black family was resilient enough to withstand slavery, but it didn't withstand the social engineering of liberals in the 1960s. And we've been suffering from it ever since.
You know, it's money. Money offered and so forth. Well, there are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, or you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that promotes liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile is our mobile phone company that supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the economic war room, Patriot Mobile, is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. And they support good programs like Stand and others. And we appreciate what they do. But I really appreciate, Bishop, what you're doing to really revitalize the Black family and to set good examples. I mean, the lieutenant governor, you didn't win that race, but look who your lieutenant governor is now, Winsome Sears, and the changes that can be made in America when we see a return to family, a return to biblical principles, a return to standing and staying true to America's national destiny. All right, we're going to need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to do the full hour with Bishop E.W. Jackson. And we'll be talking about the good programs that Stand is doing and how you can look into them, learn more about them, and if you're interested, find ways to support them. This is a matter of prayer. It's a matter of America's future. It's a matter of the destiny for the United States of America. So we'll be right back with Bishop E.W. Jackson and with more about Stand.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And I'm joined with the great Bishop E.W. Jackson, who's a dear friend. He's created an institution called STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, and it's built on a vision. I looked up on the website, Faith, Family, and Freedom, the three Fs. I think of the four Fs, the future farmers, but this is the three Fs, faith, family, and freedom, things that matter to me. And because my last name is Freeman, I've always appreciated the letter F. I didn't get any in school. I absolutely didn't. My mom is in heaven. She knows the truth. I never got an F, but I love the letter F. I feel like if we were on Sesame Street, this is brought to you by the letter F, faith, family, and freedom. Explain why those are the three values of your vision.
Well, faith for America, because we are the only nation in the history of mankind, Kevin, that founded itself on the principle that liberty and rights don't come from the beneficence of other human beings. They come from Almighty God. And therefore, as the founder said, governments are instituted among men. What? To secure these rights. In other words, not the government doesn't give us rights. The government secures the rights that God gave us, protects those rights, defends those rights. And yeah, believe it or not, Kevin, I've actually had atheists say to me, well, you know, I might not believe in God, but I sure do like the way the founding fathers set up this nation. Because they realize that by rooting your liberty and your rights in something transcendent, you made it not subject to the whim and the fancies of human beings. So faith is first and foremost. I say America doesn't work without God. It just doesn't. Because if God doesn't give us our rights and liberty, well, who does? Oh, well, now the politician does. Some government agency does. Well, what they can give, they can very easily take away. And of course, without faith, there is no freedom, because God is the giver of freedom. Jesus said, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And so freedom must be experienced within a context of truth and cannot be experienced within a context of lies. Because if truth makes you free, then lies put you in bondage. And of course, wherever you find people in bondage, what do you find? You find they, or the people who govern them, are dedicated to lies. And so truth is essential to who we are as Americans. And of course, freedom, faith, family is also critically important. And I consider family to be a part of that whole freedom construct, that faith and freedom construct, because the family really is the institution whereby all of these values that make America the nation that we are passed on. They're not responsible. We shouldn't expect, can't expect the schools to pass them on, the government to pass them on. Families have to pass them on. So we are dedicated to the F's. I like that. The F's. I hadn't thought about it that way. But yes, we are.
Brought to you by the letter F. Well, I appreciate that. And that's what Stan does. Give us an example of an issue today. I mean, you mentioned women in men's locker rooms or bathrooms, but what about women in men's sports? And why is that not staying true to America's national destiny? Why is that wrong to allow men in women's sports?
Because it's based on a lie. And the lie is that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. Let's just leave aside the biblical truth that Jesus gave us, which is, in the beginning, God made them male and female, period. Two genders, no more, no less. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. That's the only construct for marriage. Let's even leave that aside for the moment. You and I know, and I'm not a scientist, but I'm scientifically informed enough to know, every cell in your body and mine is embossed with our a gender identity, every single cell. And there are trillions of cells in our body, and every single one of them is embossed with either the XX or XY chromosomal makeup. So even if you change your clothes or you get some kind of weird operation or you take hormones, you can't change yourself at the cellular level. So the idea that you can is based upon a lie. So a guy says he's a girl. So then we're going to put you in the women's locker room. We're going to put you in the women's shower. We're going to put you on the women's team. I mean, it's just a lie. And so President Trump, I think, is saying very eloquently, the government and our society must be rooted and grounded in truth if people are to have confidence that they're being properly governed. And so this is just one example of why truth is so critical to us being governed as a free people. You can't govern a free people with lies. All lies do is put people at bondage. And we see this. Look at the girls they punish, Kevin. I mean, young ladies saying, I'm not going to be in a shower with a guy who goes through physiological changes right there in front of me. I'm not doing it. Oh, well, you're the bad person. You're the person with an issue. Not him, but you. This stuff is preposterous, and it's got to stop. And of course, Stan stands against it.
Well, you know, I look at in Maine, I don't know if you've seen this. Maine State Rep. Laura Libby posted her objection to natal males participating in female sports on Facebook. She's a state duly elected state representative. And because of that, the House censured her so they would not allow her to speak. Why is this even a political issue? This seems like a science issue. It doesn't even seem like it's a biblical issue because it's truth, but it doesn't even seem like a biblical issue or a religious issue. This is a science issue. And yet the party that says you're denying science to us is turning around and denying science themselves.
Because, Kevin, when you reject absolute immutable truths, then truth becomes whatever is convenient for you at that moment. So there is no consistency. There is no logic. It is just what works for me right now. And so you're right. Science becomes important when I think it advances my agenda. And when it doesn't advance my agenda, let's ignore science. I mean, for example, one of the most unscientific things I've ever heard is the notion that a person can be born into the wrong body. But what does that even mean? It's just an irrational statement. I mean, as if we're made in a factory and somebody picked up a wrong spirit or soul and dropped it into the wrong physical encasement. I mean, it's just crazy, but we're told it all the time. And it's the basis for all of these weird policies that we see. Even trying to talk to young children and explain to them that they were born in the wrong body and that their mother and father and doctor and hospital only guessed at their gender. And now the teacher in all of her wisdom is going to acknowledge the truth, which is, yeah, somebody in the kid factory made a mistake and dropped you into the wrong body. I mean, this stuff is so bizarre. But again, when you reject absolute immutable truth, this is where it leads you. It leads you to the weirdest, most inexplicable places.
It also takes you to a free speech issue. And if you speak the truth, you will be silenced. And where does that leave us? When you're telling the truth, it leaves us in Orwell, right? You're telling the truth, and therefore you have to be shut up. But if you're speaking the lie and conforming with what the majority, or not even the majority, somebody somewhere in a position of power demands that you say it this way and speak this truth, that's getting really frightening, because that leads to totalitarian dictatorship. This is where Adolf Hitler can rise. It has nothing to do with the conservatives or Donald Trump, who speaks the truth all the time, whether you like it or not. I mean, he'd tell his Aunt Betty that pie sucks. He would just flat out say, "I don't like your pie." You know, where the rest of us might be polite. You know, I didn't think that pie was any good. But sometimes it really matters if you're telling the truth or telling a lie. And in this case, politicians are willing to lie to people, and that's frightening.
This is why Stand exists. This is the core of our existence, because we really believe that without God and without truth, America as a society cannot congeal. We cannot remain a coherent society. It's just not possible, because you're right, Kevin. If the Almighty God is not the final arbiter of what is true and right and good and decent, then who is? Well, the person with the biggest gun. The person with the most power. And that takes you down a road toward whoever has that power. They then set the standard of right and wrong. So, right, we would say Hitler was a monster. He was a megalomaniac. He was one of the most evil people who's ever walked the face of the earth. But somebody who rejects God and rejects his word, like an Adolf Hitler, would say, says who? Says who? I've made my decision, and I think all Jews are evil and they must be destroyed. And who contradicts me? Well, the person who says, well, there is no ultimate truth. How do you answer that? Well, you can't. We know there's an absolute truth, and it's wrong because God says it's wrong, because every person is made in the image and likeness of God, and no human being has a right to arbitrarily decide that others are not worthy of existence. And that is absolute truth from God's word. But we've got the left in our country that have thrown that out. So where does that take us?
It takes us where the French Revolution went, where they were saying you have to have a 10-day work week, and they denied that there was a 24-hour day. I mean, these are just simple scientific truths. There is a 24-hour day, but they tried to reshape the units. And what they ended up doing was eating their own at some point. Yeah, they disposed of the king, but eventually they disposed of the people that disposed of the king, and then disposed of the people who disposed of the people who disposed of the king. French Revolution was a terrible tragedy. Contrast that with the American Revolution, which I know you have studied in detail, where they were men of faith, elevating the truth of God. And as a result, we brought the greatest liberty ever brought to humanity, not universally, not perfectly, not ideally. But the biggest leap forward for liberty in the history of humanity took place with the American Revolution.
The only revolution I know of in human history that left people actually free afterwards, rather than enslaved afterwards. Now, you're right. We had to resolve the issue of slavery. But even in our revolution, we were trying to resolve that issue. And as you know, there were certain states that did not want to resolve it because they were so dependent upon it. But even there, we were trying to reconcile our commitment to freedom in terms of the Africans who were in our country and were slaves. So it was even there, it was forcing us to grapple with the issue. This is what I say to people who condemn America for slavery. I said, there was never a moment from the first time the first Africans arrived on shore, there was never a moment in which there was not a debate about the humanity of people, that you could not abuse them, enslave them, and subjugate them. And of course, there were those who, for their own benefit, wanted to do so. But there were always those voices saying, that's not consistent with who we are as Americans or Christians. Thank God our countries have always had those people.
You know what? This is staying true to America's national destiny. The founders set us on a course of a national destiny of liberty for all people, male, female, black, white, regardless of your racial background. That was the national destiny. We didn't get there immediately, but we eventually got there. It has been such a pleasure talking to you. E.W. Jackson will be back with more after this break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And one of the best ways to align with liberty, security, and values is to align with STAND, staying true to America's national destiny. The founder of STAND, a dear friend, a great patriot, a great man, is Bishop E.W. Jackson, and he has been helping people align with their destiny and their future in America for decades. Now, I've followed his career. I've been a part of a group that he's been a part of for like 20 years or something. So I've watched him from a distance. Then we've gotten closer and we've become friends. I truly love this man. And I'm so glad, EW, that you're a part of us. Tell us about STAND and where people can learn how to align their future with America's national destiny.
Well, the first thing to do, of course, and thank you so much for that, Kevin, but the first thing to do, of course, is go to standamerica.us, standamerica.us, and check out the website. Now, we have a couple of other websites. We have a website for America's Forgotten Children, just how it sounds, americasforgottenchildren.com, no apostrophe after the Americas. And we also have a third website called Stand with Law Enforcement. We haven't talked about that, but you know, by the time people hear this, the week will be over, but this is Law Enforcement Week. And we've been talking about the importance of supporting our law enforcement in our country, who, as you know, for the last several years, particularly under the Biden administration, went through a period of this defund the police, devalue the police, disdain the police, vilify the police. And it really caused a tremendous increase in crime all across the country. So people want to find out about the things that we're doing. That's where they start. Start with standamerica.us, and you'll learn about the various programs and projects that we are working.
Well, let's talk about Stand with Law Enforcement for a second, because we just went through a period in which Black Lives Matter, which makes a valid point. Black lives do matter. White lives should matter. And I guess it's racist for me to say that. And Chinese lives should matter. You know, and we just saw Falun Gong in the Texas state capitol, where they're live human organ harvesting of the Uyghur population in China and the Falun Gong population. This is terrible, tragic. Those lives should matter. But Black Lives Matter made a real strong point of defund the police. Why in the world would they do that? And what were they trying to achieve with that? And why is it right or wrong?
Well, you know, they're Marxists. And of course, I've been saying this from the very beginning and people weren't listening because, we don't know who runs it. But, you know, the concept is great. I said, no, the concept is not great, because the implication is that these lives matter more than any other. And when people say, oh, no, well, that's not what we're saying. And my question became, well, then why is it that if you say, well, all lives matter, you get absolutely crucified? And you couldn't say all lives matter. You're not allowed to say that, because somehow you're diminishing the whole thrust. Well, the fact is, all lives do matter, and we shouldn't racially categorize people. Life matters. Unborn life matters. But these were Marxists. And as a result, of course, their whole view of life, I call race, this racial division that the left stokes, Marxism American style, because they can't quite use class warfare. It doesn't work as well here because Americans are so upwardly mobile, but they can use the emotional baggage and history with race in our country, and they can use that to manipulate people. And that's exactly what they did. But Patrice Cullors, as you know, and her co-founders, they confessed that they were Marxists. They were trained Marxists. And that's why they wanted to be against the police, because Karl Marx, one of his principles was ruthlessly criticize everything. In other words, everything that undergirds a capitalist or a free society, ruthlessly criticize it, subvert it, undermine it, so that you can build a new communist society. That's what they really want.
It reminds me, I met Eldridge Cleaver when I was younger, and he was a part of the Black Panther movement. And then I've seen videos talking about Manning Johnson, who wrote the book Color Communism and Common Sense. And in America, they have tried this racial division multiple times because they realized that America allows for upward mobility. So the class division in America wasn't working effectively to bring about Marxism, which is to create as much chaos so you can take power and then you can run everything. And so they thought, well, we'll try the race card. The problem is when Manning Johnson wrote Color, Communism, Common Sense, he realized that actually the opportunity in America with a strong black family was very poor. They weren't going to get this through. So we have to have the radical sexual movement of the 60s, which caused the Black Panther movement. And then we had to have the Black Lives Matter, which all of that stems from what you're combating, and that is the breakdown of the family. As long as we have a strong family in America, particularly a black family, you're not going to play that race card. It's not going to work, because the young person that wants to be a Marxist is going to be pulled back by their dad and taught a lesson if necessary. Look, this doesn't work. Communism doesn't work. I work for my money, and I know what it means and what it's worth, and this idea of getting paid without working. That's what's missing here. That's why we have to go. If you want to beat Black Lives Matter, you go work with Stan. Staying true to America's national destiny and promote the family. That's how you beat these things. And I don't want a society. I mean, you look at these societies in the Pacific Northwest where they pulled the police out and just let people have their communes, and how terrible it was. Real people getting hurt really badly.
And destroying whole communities as a result. In fact, you know, I was one of the people, Stan was one of the organizations that exposed the first website that Black Lives Matter put up. And it was a website that was full of all of this Marxist stuff, this sexual stuff. We got to get rid of the cis family. Women are nothing but slaves in the family. And, you know, you look at this, you think, well, wait a minute. What does this have to do with police brutality? What does this have to do with trying to protect black people from all this alleged mistreatment by police? Nothing. It was all about a Marxist agenda. Of course, when it got exposed, they quickly pulled it down, but it was too late because it revealed what they were really about. And what they were really about was not helping anybody, but rather just advancing a Marxist agenda, which is the last thing in the world the United States of America needs.
Well, you described it economically. How you stop a Marxist agenda is you give people the opportunity through lower regulations, lower taxes to save and earn more. You have to solve the inflation problem, and which is what we're doing with pirate money, is giving people opportunity to hold their money in the form of something that is stable, that doesn't depreciate 2-5% per year like the U.S. dollar does, but as an option, not forcing it on anybody. And then you strengthen the family and you give people opportunities for education and upward mobility and creativity. Our patent system is rigged against the little guy. It's rigged in favor of the big corporation. It used to be the first to invent was the person that won the patent. Now it's the first to file. So if you file for a patent as a big corporation, you might get that and you could have stolen the intellectual property of some genius. I remember Dr. Carson on our Economic War Room program walked through all of the inventions from black Americans going back over hundreds of years and all the different things that creativity had done and all the advances that had come in society as a result of it. That's what we need. We need more economic liberty. We need stronger families. We need better education.
And look, when you have a strong family, you know my background. I was raised in foster care for the first 10 years of my life. And my father, I knew who my father was, but he wasn't raising me. He took me out of foster care to save me from gangs and crime in the streets. And he did it. He got it done. But as soon as he got a hold of me, he began to instill in me a determination to achieve something, to do something, to accomplish something, to make something of my life. And no matter what opportunities you have, Kevin, if you don't have the mindset that says, I'm going to make the most of what opportunities are presented to me, nobody can make you a success. All the government programs in the world, all the DEI in the world, all the affirmative action in the world can't do it. But when you are determined, it's amazing what you can overcome. And so I went from being a failure in fifth grade to being an A student in sixth grade and never looked back because I had the guidance of my dad telling me what was expected of me. And when you don't have that, and Marxism, as you know, is categorically opposed to the family as God designed it. I mean, opposed to it because they want to control people themselves and the family only gets in the way. And so how can you control children if you got a mom and dad there trying to teach them? You don't want that. You want everybody speaking, thinking, acting out the Marxist line. And when you have that, then you've got totalitarian and tyrannical control. And then families, as a result, of course, are destroyed and people suffer. And that's what we've seen in every society that's tried this. And, you know, you, Kevin, you would think at some point, but we know that there's a spiritual dynamic behind this. But at some point, people would simply look at the history and look at the results and say, you know, Marxism doesn't work. maybe we ought not do that because it doesn't seem to have worked anywhere it's been tried. But they keep trying it because we know, again, it's not about serving people. It's about serving their own lust for power.
No, there's no question about that. You even look in the United States and you look at the states that are more socialist and people are leaving them to go to the more freedom-loving states. And you think about the family and the importance of a father. And you've talked about that with your father. And you realize this strong family is how you beat that. Hitler understood that. And that's why he tried to break apart the family with the Hitler Youth to where the kids would rat on their parents. This is not a plan for success, but I'll tell you what is a plan for success. Staying true to America's national destiny. If you want to find an individual that has escaped a bad path that he was on to get on his destiny path, then you need to know more about Bishop E.W. Jackson. Tell us again, one more time, where can people learn more about Stand and about your good work?
Well, go to standamerica.us. And let me just underscore this to Kevin. The importance of unity across racial and cultural lines. See each other as individuals. You know, it is so liberating. It is so invigorating. And it's so encouraging. And it's so enriching and enhancing when you see people as people rather than as part of a categorical racial group.
So thanks for being with us on Pirate Money Radio.